This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And once again, it's time for our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. We're happy to take your questions if you send them to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's the destination for questions related to medicine, overall health-related issues, and of course, nutrition and supplements. With me today, Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Budin. And pleasure having you once again joining me, Layla. How are you?
I'm all right, Dr. Hoffman. How are you doing?
Good. So, you know, we've done a lot of stuff in the past couple of weeks. I did an article on grilling and ages and how to avoid the perils of aging. Of course, last week was a big week in terms of responding to the American Heart Association. They published a presidential advisory on the subject of saturated fats. And to my amazement, they doubled down on their anachronistic, outmoded, and wrongheaded recommendations that we switch from butter to margarine, that we switch from high-fat dairy to low-fat dairy, and that we substitute vegetable oils for such bad oils, and I'm using air quotes here, bad oils like coconut oil, which got a really got a thumping on the internet, especially in the wake of a USA Today story, which said coconut oil isn't good for you. It never has been. So you know, we've gotten a lot of email on that subject. So you know, perhaps we can spend a couple of minutes pushing back on some of those. Allegations. By the way, the article that I wrote for this week's or for last week's newsletter was on the subject of the AHA recommendations. If you go to the American Heart Association, even today, you'll see that they still recommend that you substitute polyunsaturated oils for saturated fat. And I just thought, I was a little too optimistic. I gave them too much credit. I said, you know, eventually they're going to have to change that because the science is not supporting that. But in fact, they double down.
Yeah. I'm very troubled, especially by the types of oils that they're actually mentioning, like soybean oil, corn oil. These are so very high in omega-6. But Dr. Hoffman, I've got to read this email.
Please.
We got from Dominic. Dominic says, my sister, who is a dietitian, sent me this article saying saturated fats are now bad for me.
Right.
I've been telling her I've been eating good saturated fats like butter, coconut oil. Now she seems vindicated since she's always suggested I avoid them. And by the way, Dom says, I've been a fan of yours for years and actually owe you quite a considerable amount of money for your sound medical advice. Thank you.
Well, that's very nice. But, you know, I tell you, just allow me to say that please don't send money, but please help to support the continuation of this podcast by supporting our sponsors. And, of course, by going over to drhoffman.com. And you can fulfill your supplement needs by purchasing your supplement products through drhoffman.com. And that helps to support this enterprise. You know, this is free and available. But should you choose to patronize our sponsors or a website, that would be most appreciated because it helps us stay on the air.
I think the biggest, besides that the particular oils that they tout as healthy, the other thing that I find very, very troubling is that they're using old research and it's as if they've turned a complete blind eye to the research of the past 15 to 20 years, where it's been shown that in the setting of a low-carb diet, all of the risk factors for heart disease go down. And as we know, a low-carb diet is a high-fat diet with no limitation on saturated fats, such as coconut oil, butter, lard, tallow, any of those.
So one thing that I think is of utmost importance is that this experiment has been tried. I mean, on the one hand, the experiment of going from saturated fat to polyunsaturated fat has been tried on us guinea pigs, on the American populace, for at least the last 3 or 4 decades, and it hasn't worked out well in terms of obesity statistics, in terms of diabetes statistics, in terms of cardiovascular disease statistics. And while there are some improvements in cardiovascular death, much of that has been attributed not to diet changes, but more to advances in medical care, where people get faster treatment and they get immediate revascularization procedures within sometimes minutes of their heart attacks. Certainly in terms of the statistics on obesity, degenerative disease, atherosclerotic disease, it hasn't been good. But the other experiment, and this was actually something that just came out, and it was a reanalysis of a study that you're familiar with, Layla, you know, because you probably talk about that in some of your blogs. It was a study done in Minnesota about 40 years ago. And the problem with that study is that it contained a lot of data, and the data was not presented at that time. It was deep-sixed. It was suppressed because it didn't agree with the premise of the researchers, because the researchers wanted to demonstrate in one of the largest studies of its kind. And this is unusual because sometimes people just recall what they ate. This was a study done on a captive audience, on people in mental institutions, where they substituted polyunsaturated fat for saturated fat in their diet. And they looked at thousands and thousands of patients. And they did this for many years. And what they found is that, indeed, their cholesterol went down. And I think that's where a lot of people get misled, is that lowering cholesterol seems to be equated with great outcomes. You know, if you lower cholesterol, that's going to be the end-all and be-all of cardiovascular prevention. And of course, it's led us to the statin drugs that lower cholesterol but don't always prevent heart disease, because the vast majority of people these days who get heart attacks, they are on statin drugs. They still get heart attacks.
That's right.
But in this study, okay, cholesterol went down with that substitution. Fine. But they looked at overall death, and they looked at specifically death from stroke and heart attack, and there was no reduction. And in fact, there was somewhat of an increase with lowering cholesterol. So this was reanalyzed by some intrepid researchers who said, let's get a hold of the raw data and let's go through these old boxes, you know, where they, you know, probably have punch cards. You know, it's very old data. And let's laboriously reconstruct that, because it was a great experiment. It just never, when it was published 40 years ago, they didn't mention the unfortunate consequence that people didn't live longer. And in fact, lived less long. So, you know, the American Heart Association, I think a lot of experts in this area believe they cherry-picked the data.
Yes.
And one of the really excellent responses on this was by our old friend Gary Taubes, who wrote a resounding rebuttal and basically took the position that this is a form of scientific malpractice that
thank you for using that word.
Because I mean,
I think it's appropriate.
I mean, if I see a patient, I miss a diagnosis and the patient comes to harm, that's one patient, and that's very devastating, and you know, I would feel horrible. But if we dispense advice to hundreds of millions of Americans that they then dutifully follow because it's trumpeted in headlines, that's malpractice times millions.
You
know, I think part of it is that it's very difficult to turn around the Titanic. You know, once you've committed to a viewpoint, I think they basically were looking for a rationale to double down on their preconceived notion that cholesterol and saturated fat are the culprits. And yes. they've been hearing all the social media stuff, and there's a lot of popular revolt against this idea, led by people like us who are professional mm-hmm. nutritionists. But also, you know, the social media is replete with take coconut oil, you know, go ahead and eat saturated fat because it's not bad for you. And they just wanted to push back on that and say, look, give me that old time religion about low fat diets.
Right.
And use polyunsaturated fats.
Which is partially responsible for our twin epidemics of obesity, diabetes, and now soon to be Alzheimer's disease. You know, yeah. But the other thing that I also find troubling is they talk about the polyunsaturated fats, Dr. Hoffman, but they don't even make mention of the very beneficial omega-3s.
Yeah.
You know, they talked a little bit about olive oil, yay, mm-hmm. okay, but really not much else. And just their pinpointing, I mean, just being so single-minded about focusing on LDL. Well, mm-hmm. nobody talked about the pattern of LDL. That, you know, when you're on a lower fat, higher carb diet, that LDL becomes small and dense and atherogenic. And the fact really, again, I have to reiterate that so much of the science that they continue to look at, which is old, all of these saturated fat studies were done in the setting of a high carb diet. And of yep. course, that's a main confounder right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, HDL will also go down in that kind of a setting.
Exactly.
So, and that's supposed to be protective.
Now, you know, there's also this issue of, you know, follow the money trail. And, you know,
yes.
I hate to say this because, you know, I have to say that many of the scientists who support this are, you know, ethical scientists, and they truly believe what they're saying. But the American Heart Association, you know, one of their income streams is from endorsing products like high carbohydrate cereals that are, quote, whole grain cereals, and then they garner the American Heart Association seal of approval. So there's really some penetration by commercial entities of the American Heart Association. Pay to play, buy a seal. There's also some evidence that there's been really aggressive marketing by the soy manufacturers of America to get the American Heart Association to approve of soy oil, which is, you know, one of the ways that we support this huge industry, the soy industry in America.
Which is one of the most abundant crops in the country.
Yes.
Besides corn.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So on a variety of grounds, you know, we push back against that, and we'll be writing more on the coconut oil connection. I won't belabor that now.
Yes.
So let's get into questions, because that's what this segment's all about.
Right. We've got an email from Linda. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Dr. Andrew Weil feels there are risks associated with red meat consumption and doesn't feel it's necessary. He is, as you know, a significant figure in integrative medicine. Why do you feel he continues to feel this way about red meat? And I've got an excerpt of that article.
Okay,
Dr. Hoffman.
Yeah, let me just
read you a little bit of it. The more red meat in your diet, the greater your risk of dying from cancer, heart disease, stroke, diabetes, kidney, liver disease, all of that. Researchers at National Cancer Institute reached this conclusion after following 536,969 people ages 50 to 71 for 16 years. So the participants reported their consumption of processed and unprocessed meat, including beef, lamb, pork, as well as poultry and fish. So they made point to the fact that there is no distinction, first of all, mm-hmm. between the red meat, the processed meat. The processed meat is going to be so much higher in sodium and nitrates.
Right.
They also
lower in polyunsaturated fat content, right?
That's right,
yep.
Because a lot of that is commercially raised meat. So mm-hmm. the polyunsaturated fat content, they point to the heme iron in red meat as well as the nitrates, nitrites, and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's speak to that. And I think that that's actually one of the arguments to be made against excess animal protein consumption is that we do know that iron acts as a heavy metal, in effect. It's a pro-oxidant. It is something that contributes to cellular rust in the body. And there's a certain percentage of people who have a propensity to accumulate iron. It's sometimes referred to as hemochromatosis, but mm-hmm. it isn't always, because some people don't have out-and-out hemochromatosis. They just have a tendency to overaccumulate iron. This is thought to be, from an evolutionary standpoint, a hedge against wounds, you know, like combat and, yes, you know, fighting animals and things like that. But in a less spectacular way, prehistoric man was depleted of iron, and actually many people across the world still are depleted of iron, by parasites. Parasites tend to cause iron depletion. And so some people have a built-in tendency to overaccumulate iron. We've written about this in one of, yes, our blogs a few months ago. Iron overload, you know, the two-edged sword that iron is. Iron is beneficial, but too much iron is bad. So what this argues for is maybe some discretion, maybe some yes, fine-tuning, because in people who have this iron overload thing, perhaps a diet that's high in iron-rich foods is not great. You know, recently, right, I did a podcast with Dr. Colin Ross, who is the sort of the guy who's the preserver of the legacy of Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez. And Dr. Gonzalez, very interesting guy. For some people, he suggested a vegan diet, you know, no animal protein, very low fat. And for some people, he recommended a very high animal protein diet, full of fat. And it's, yeah, different strokes for different folks. It's individualized nutrition. It's based on metabolic typing. And it may be that for some people, larding on the meat may not be that beneficial. So on the other hand, to say that everyone should be on a meat-free diet because we don't really need meat, that's a huge mistake, because humans are well adapted to animal protein consumption. It's an important part of how we get adequate protein and you know, critical minerals and calories from the fat. And also, you know, and as you know, the consequence of eliminating animal protein for many people is that they overaccumulate starchy foods, if not sugar, because they don't have satiety. They just don't get the satiety from that you get from animal protein.
As our becomes more elderly, I mean, the baby boomers and all of that, we actually need to double of protein intake to prevent sarcopenia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sarcopenia is rampant in our elderly population. It's a matter of doing exercise and exercise, as important as that is, but you need essential protein, the good, the high biological, to support muscle synthesis and mass, especially getting older.
Indeed.
So
you know, and you know, I think what we've got with Dr. Weil, who is a you know, wonderful proponent for natural medicine, is a little bit an approach that has its derivations in the time where he sort of rose through the ranks of natural medicine, where macrobiotic diets, yeah, vegan diets, vegetarian diets were more popular. Mm-hmm. And so perhaps he's a little bit of a mustache Pete, you know, old-fashioned nutrition guidelines. And, you know, as in some ways, he's sort of the integrative equivalent of the American Heart Association. Is let's, you know, we had this recent flurry of excitement over meat is okay and saturated fat is not bad. Then let's get back to basics, because that stuff is no good. We, you know, we're going to go back to the nutrition vogue of the 70s. You know, uh-huh, what goes around comes around. Let's get back to basics. Meat is not good. And it also, I think there's a little bit,
right,
of a,
and let's go back to fatties.
Right, fat phobia.
And frozen yogurt and all of that, and yeah, oh, yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think, unfortunately, and this is really tough for the public, is, you know, we have only to look at the political situation to see the way that facts are portrayed in diametrically opposite ways. You know, there's a, something's happening, mm-hmm, and you get an interpretation from one side of the political spectrum, and you get an interpretation from the other side of the political spectrum. You know, an example of which is the popularity or lack thereof of President Trump. You know, and it's, mm-hmm, you know, same fact pattern, but you know, absolutely diametrically opposed, mm-hmm, interpretations. And some people think, well, science is a realm of purity. It's a realm of, you know, pure, you know, objective facts. but especially when it comes to issues that are big issues like climate change or diet. These are very complex issues, and they lend themselves very much to partisanship, and then people align and muster the facts to support their viewpoint. We're coming back to the original theme that we introduced this podcast with is, they say, you're entitled to your opinions, but you're not entitled to your own facts. Well, some people these days are, they're entitled to their own facts because, facts are sometimes elusive. So there you go. Mm-hmm. And, and I'm not claiming to have cornered the market on factual arguments around this, but, we have to be humble and, recognize that there may be truth to both sides, that vegetarians may have an excellent point. On the other hand, people who propose a ketogenic diet or a paleo diet may also bring to the fore some very important facts. And, somehow we must reconcile those and individualize nutrition. That's what we try to do in our practice.
That's right. Such thing as one diet fits all. It's really that simple. Yeah.
Indeed.
That simple and that complex.
Okay. So this is a good point at which to pause because we divide our podcast into two parts. When we return, more on your questions. We invite you to send your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. We'll answer as many of them as we can during our weekly Q&A with Layla. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.